And welcome to another episode of End the Lie Radio. I am your host, Madison Rupert. And of course, I'll say it again, I've said it a million times, but my website is endthelie.com. And you can scroll on down there to the bottom to find us across the internet on the various social media platforms. But today, our guest is Vinny Eastwood of The Vinny Eastwood Show. And you can find his website at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. A pretty straightforward spelling there. And he is a radio host over in New Zealand, and I love the tagline of his show. It is the lighter side of genocide, if there is such a thing. but we are going to cover a wide range of topics today, kind of a freewheeling discussion. But first, Vinny, I want you to tell us a little bit about your show first, and then what got you into this to begin with.
Well, let me see. Let's start with the show, and then I'll tell you what went into the show, so it's in the opposite way around. Okay.
Sounds good.
The show is 5 days a week, 5 till 7 Central Time on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, which also has AM, FM affiliates across the United States and around the world. Have a few very brave broadcasters in New Zealand who also indeed broadcast the show from time to time. And listeners from all over the entirety of the planet, people in China, South America, Trinidad and Tobago, Tunisia, la 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 la. And there's something about New Zealanders that makes us a very worldly people. Because namely, if you live in a very, very small country, as soon as you look in any direction, you suddenly see the ocean. You're saying, you know, I wonder what's over that horizon. And sure enough, there's an awful lot of things.
You don't really have a choice. You're forced into it.
Yeah, it's a New Zealand rite of passage. Approximately one-fifth of the New Zealand-born population lives overseas currently. There are 4 million New Zealanders living in New Zealand and 1 million New Zealanders living abroad. You could
no wonder Mossad loves to come over there and steal passports, right?
This is
everyone
true.
Loves New Zealanders.
Everybody loves us, and the accent's very sexy, so I get lots of female listeners, you know, about 35%. Average for a male talk radio show host in America in terms of female audience would be around the 12-15% mark. I'm getting 35%.
And oh, wow, fancy pants.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I make an effort to dole myself up, you know, properly shave, do my hair or wear some kind of hat.
a fancy hat. That's what really gets the ladies, right?
Well, yes. I mean, on the show we have a bit of the Godfather theme song, and I wear this Spanish hat, and I go, "Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, sipping our coffee and hocking back some gosh dang good bagels from McDonald's that we got around the street corner from GMO Farm in Monsanto."
It's a Class A impression. You just need to stuff your cheeks with cotton and you'd be 100%.
And it's a work in progress, as everything is. Now, the point of the show, because I'm a person who likes to spread himself all over, you know how they talk about fingers and many pies, I like to taste and sample everything that I see, anything that I can get my hands on, in a lot of ways.
Let's just be clear, we're not talking about female listeners anymore, correct? We've moved to a different metaphor.
Well, indeed, and my missus would be very unhappy about that. But anyway, the idea of the show is to basically listen to anybody and everybody. Mm-hmm. There's, I've been told many times by the network producer that he doesn't like me getting on hosts from other networks and things of that nature. But what I think he neglects to realize is that if I bring a radio show host on our network and let them promote themselves, 90% of the time they will let me go on their network and promote myself. And so what you have there is a strategic partnership alliance whereby people who otherwise agree on pretty much anything fundamental can get together, have some fun, and talk about things that are really important in a recorded format so that you actually have something to show for it. I'm creating a media library, essentially, that is larger than any publicly accessible archive in terms of different ranges of topics, activists from all different stripes of spectrums, whether that be left-wing or false left-wing or false right-wing or people who are investigating into environmental issues like poisons being dumped into the water supply, fluoride or chemtrails, or compound 1080, which is the most poisonous poison pretty much ever known, and we're the only country in the world that allows it to be used outdoors, and they dump it into pristine bushland right into water catchment areas. And
we're going to need to talk about that because I am completely ignorant. I can't even say that I've heard of that. Before you continue, can you throw out your YouTube channel to have people check it out? Because I've actually searched around on it a little bit, and I've been very impressed by what I've seen.
Yeah, well, you can. If you just search Vinny Eastwood, it goes to the vinnyeastwoodshow.com. And you know the YouTube logo where it goes U and then in red it's got tube? Well, I've got U and then in red it's got Genix. And it, and if you click on it, it goes straight to my YouTube channel, which is Mr. News. Like, hello, I'm Mr. News. Not have you missed the news or no. Guerrilla Media, one word. So it's guerrilla like a soldier, not like an ape. So it's Mr. News, Guerrilla Media. And if you go there, I've been shooting videos and uploading them for close to 5 years, well over 1,000 videos there. The bulk of them are over an hour and a half in length, extended interviews with the top people that you would expect on the Alex Jones Show or Coast to Coast. And as far as I know, I'm the only New Zealander to ever do anything like this in history. And I can ask people, you know, honestly, if you don't think so, name me another New Zealand talk radio show host that you've ever heard of.
Yeah, that draws a blank for me, I must admit.
It's a self-evident truth.
Indeed.
And the reason why I'm so palatable, I believe, and the show is good, particularly for Americans, is because they are a generous people. They are a curious and innovative people. Well, the awake ones, not the I'm sucking back so much aspartame that I've got Michael J. Fox disease kind of Americans, but the cream of the crop, the bulk of the audience is indeed the baby boomer generation. About 45% of my listening audience is ranging between the ages of 40 to 60 and over. And those are the people who have perhaps come to the point in their life where they have seen 30 to 40 to 50 to 60 years of New World Order implementation and are just now getting wise about it, and they've become an incredible force. They support the entire truth movement all over the place. I went to a lecture series by Ian R. Crane when he came here to New Zealand. It was organised by my friend Jonathan Eisen of Uncensored Magazine, and there were only people within that age group there, with the exception of myself. And they all paid $69 to come in and see this. And it's another thing that occurs to me is that this this age group, the baby boomers, were the ones who were actually living and working at a time in which the economy allowed them to produce wealth from their work rather than just produce a treadmill. This is at a time when it was when you were capable of, on an average wage, being able to purchase a house or a car. Nobody has owns their houses or cars anymore. They're all purchased with debt, and they keep having to pay them off, which means they keep having to work, and essentially they never get ahead, but they've got all these trappings like they have, but they don't actually have anything. This baby
debt slavery is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It sure works for Americans, apparently.
It does. And what also attracts Americans to the show is that the things that I'm talking about happening here in New Zealand are the exact same things. Almost word for word, instance by instance, topic to topic, with exactly what is happening on in America right now. That's why they call it a new world order. Name me a country that is exempt from that definition. What are you going to do? Buy a condo on the moon?
Yeah, well, hey, if you listen to Newt Gingrich, that might be a feasible option.
Yeah, well, the New World Order is just this big cauldron of different animal parts and exotic spices that they seem to have just mixed together to brew this incredible tyranny. You know, there's a tongue of Obama in there. There's a toupee of Romney. There's an eye of Newt Gingrich. You know, there's this whole bunch of big concoct of poisonous stew that they put in there, and it's kind of like you've been assaulted by so many things on your senses and your sense of truth and justice and what's right in the world, that it's almost like 10 people trying to get through a doorway at the same time. It just doesn't get through, and sure enough, you see people becoming apathetic. That's even worse than hating what's going on and having you hate fill you. What's worse than having hate or love filling you is emptiness.
Indeed, and it seems to be the rule rather than the exception as of late, which is it's quite tragic. I mean, and you know, unfortunately, it seems like many are willing participants in this whole New World Order, if you want to call it that. I think it goes by various nomenclatures. I think they kind of did away with New World Order in official documentation and stuff like that. Then again, you know, we had the Vatican last year openly calling for a New World Order, so who knows? I think it just depends on the brazenness of the organization that's behind it, really.
Yeah, well, we have a multitude of labels, and that's what's interesting, is people get hung up on what the label is as opposed to what the label describes.
Precisely. Is it the Illuminati? Is it Zionist? Is it bankers? Is it, you know, reptilians? What is it? You know, it's all the same thing, really. You're just describing an elite controlling class, whatever name you want to give to it, really.
Yeah. You find a real poisonous, dangerous tree in your front yard, and instead of cutting that motherfracker down, you analyze the tree roots, you analyze the trunk, you analyze the branches, you analyze the leaves, and then you argue with other people who see different things when they analyze the leaves and the branches and the trunk and the roots. Okay?
Yeah, I'd rather start hacking away, really.
And the poisonous tree is still there today, still dropping its poisonous fruit all over your front lawn. It's killing the grass. It's poisoning the waterways. It's blocking out your frickin' sunlight. It is destroying your path that you took frickin' ages to put in. The big roots are knocking it up and that kind of thing. This metaphor could go on forever. But the point of fact is, you got to stop fighting with each other over what to label things or more precise communication. I had somebody accuse me of being a poor communicator the other day, and well, that was my response too. You know, and it gets to the point where you understand what he means about using words in a very concise, perfect fashion, so that it is unequivocal what you are saying and what you are meaning. I don't know what the merit is into that, because I've often left things very open and just kind of say whatever's thinking to me at the time, and then rely on the backstop that I truly believe that everything I know to be true is wrong, including what I truly believe. And I just haven't seen the evidence that proves it one way or the other. So I'm going to keep operating under that belief, which I know is probably wrong, until such a time as somebody produces some evidence that contradicts what my previous beliefs were. And then I'll adopt theirs and say, thank you very much for imparting some wisdom and information to me. And now I have improved my life, and I will continue to go on telling other people this new truth and what have you. As long as you've got sufficient evidence that is better than the last thing that I was believing. If you're just going to speculate and make philosophy up off the top of your head, it's got to be some kind of a verification. You know, have you put this into practice? Have you done this? Have you done that? A whole lot of people tell me I'm not going to be a professional radio show host, that they're going to sabotage my career, and I'm dishonest, and I'm a bad person, and da, 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 da. You know what every single one of these people has in common? Nobody gives a freaking care about what they think. or say or do.
That's
because,
usually the case.
Because they have surrounded themselves with an antisocial psychological fabric which prevents them from actually giving a frack about anybody else but themselves. And in so doing, they've lost all social skills and capacity to make friends. Me, on the other hand, I make friends like it's a sandwich.
Well, that seems to be precisely what we're being told to do. You know, look out for number one, while being forced to, of course, pay taxes and all the other things. It's incredibly ironic when you look at it. You know, we're being enculturated to hyper individualism, only look out for yourself and all this stuff. But oh, we'll throw you into jail if you stop paying your taxes. I mean, it makes so much sense, right?
Yeah, and that's the entire system in and of itself. You take whatever it's telling you, and then you reverse it, invert it, and point it back in the opposite direction, and that's usually the truth. They tell you they're opening Guantanamo Bay to catch dangerous people and put them in there so they can't hurt you. It means that they're capturing good people who haven't hurt anybody so that they can keep all the innocent people out there really afraid that they'll be the next one to go in there.
And of course, we know that is an actual factual statement now. It turns out most of the people in there were farmers or 15-year-old children or people who had absolutely no ties to terrorism whatsoever. You know, one day you're herding your goats or whatever, and then the next day you wake up chained to the bottom of a C-130 with a bag over your head. What a wonderful world, right?
I see trees of green and clouds of white. They're chemtrailed, and there wasn't even a fight. And I think to myself, what a wonderful Monsanto-designed world.
And it is indeed, unfortunately. It seems more and more everything is looking so intricately designed. It seems like, you know, I'm not one of those people to cry conspiracy at every single event that occurs, but it is impossible to operate on the... Yes.
You know how conspiracy theorists don't like to use the term conspiracy? Because it basically,
it's a dirty word.
It's a great term because you can deflect any debate. And now truthers don't even want to use the term conspiracy because it makes people see them as conspiracy theorists.
Yes. It's wild because it is a technical legal term. I mean, there are so many conspiracies in history, it would make your head swim, but even a blatant conspiracy can't be called a conspiracy anymore. Yet if some students get together and decide to heckle an Israeli ambassador at UC Irvine, they can be charged with conspiracy. So that in modern parlance, that is a conspiracy, but people getting around to put monopolies in place and all this kind of stuff isn't.
Two definitions for you. Conspiracy: two or more people coming together to cause harm on another group of people without that other group of people knowing about it. Terrorism: a system of government that coerces its population using tactics of terror and fear in order to keep them in line and go along with their agenda.
Yep, and it's the cross application is really scary. And it's funny when you look at the official definition of terrorism, groups that are labeled terrorists more often than not seem a lot less like terrorists than the established governments of the world, which by definition use the threat of violence or violence to enact political ends essentially.
Now, they have a war on terror. Now, hold on. What's happening during war? People get terrorized? So you've got a war on terror, which means that you're declaring war against the consequences of you declaring war in the first place. So this
is a beautiful system, right?
It's self-perpetuating. It's light terror. You know, it's diet terror. I can't believe it's not terror.
Yes. And I mean, the scary thing to me is that people actually believe that the war on terror is not only viable, but something that billions of dollars can and should be poured into every year. That to me is very scary, that people actually buy that.
Well, and here's the other point. It's all scary, it's all scary, it's all scary. And I can tell you that I've spent many a night freaking out of my skull, many hours crying over the loss of my current worldview and how much everything sucks now and how much scumbaggery there is all over the place. Now, if you want to find problems in your life or problems with the world, I can assure you, you will find more than you can handle and you will find what you were looking for. Me, on the other hand, my priority is very different. Instead of looking for problems, I look for happiness, just a way to get along. And what I've found is something that is free, that you can inject into your life on a very regular basis without really terrible side effects, is laughter. And I have a remarkable mind for coming up with stuff that's funny off of stuff that just ain't, you know, hence the lighter side of genocide. You know, seems kind of amusing. It's a bit of a wordplay. I do crappy puns and what have you on live talk radio with people listening. I tell David Icke, you know, here's a joke I told to David Icke. You know how he took ayahuasca, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you've seen Sesame Street, right?
Yes.
You know who, you know what you call a person who takes an ayahuasca trip and then gets really angry?
What's that?
Ayahuasca the Grouch.
Yuck. I wish I had a ba-dum-tsh sound effect right now.
Yes, well, we were also going to have a guitarist behind me who every time, instead of a snare drum, he goes, cha-ding!
Yes. You definitely should. You need a backing band behind you there in the classic American late night television style.
I want to be the David Letterman of New Zealand. I don't know what it is. My friend, we were sitting around the fire one night and we were talking about really lame jokes. And we came up with this definition, like you can say to somebody, that's Letterman. If somebody says a really, really bad joke, but they're really consistently telling bad jokes that just aren't funny, oh, that's freaking Letterman, bro. And that's why Americans love him, because he's so bad, but he's at least consistently bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's like watching the episodes of live television, like shows like Saturday Night Live, where they don't make a single funny joke, and the funniest part about it is listening to the crickets in the live audience.
This is true. Now, I was wondering, and here's a brain teaser for you, how many people voted in the US election? And then...
None.
It's a two-part question. How many people voted in the final of American Idol?
I'm going to guess the vote for the final of American Idol was about at least three times as large.
Now, what does that say about the Republic?
It says we're in a very awesome situation, because I think we all know that who won American Idol is vastly more important than who runs the country. I mean, really, we're talking about a record career here, and that's running the country. Who cares about who's running the country? I mean, come on.
This is true. You know how people don't see the running of the country? Most of the American population don't go overseas and go to war. Only a very small amount of veterans currently reside in the United States, and about 25% of them reside on the streets because the Department of Defense...
Or they commit suicide, yeah.
Or they commit suicide or whatever, because the Department of Defense opens their records up and inserts things into combat veterans' profiles that would make them not be able to get a job in the real world in order to get combat veterans back into the combat zone, because you're far more likely to have an effective capacity to train other troops and engage in combat if you are a veteran. So they put things onto your profile like he's a pedophile, or he's a sociopath, or he has kleptomania, things that would really discourage an employer, and they have these numbers on their printout sheets. And what's funny is you have 25% of the United States veterans, or 25% of the U.S. homeless population, sorry, are U.S. veterans, because they don't want to go back and kill innocent people. They would rather live and die on the streets by themselves without hurting anybody.
And I think that says a lot about where our country is, unfortunately, that, you know, that is what they have to resort to. And the funniest thing to me is that politicians all day long will say, oh, support our troops, we support our troops, all this stuff. And yes, I'm sure you are supporting our troops. That's why when an individual calls a suicide helpline, this happened, I think it was last year or the year before, an individual called a suicide helpline, and a few hours later, his door was kicked down, he was dragged out of his apartment, his entire house was ransacked, and then they hauled him off and locked him up and then left the door open of his apartment for about 72 hours while he was locked up. I mean, that's what we give veterans nowadays. It's tragic, really.
America the beautiful. The home of the slaves. Isn't that gorgeous? And you know what's funny? You know how George Carlin says it's called the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it. Or living in New Zealand. Because I happen to be fulfilling said American dream at the moment. I've come to America without even going to America. And I've began a campaign to save America. Namely because it was the Americans who woke me up. You know, I listened to all the Patriot Talk radio and stuff like that all the way here for maybe a couple of years before I just went, you know what, I can't do nothing about this. Namely because there's nobody in New Zealand doing anything about this. Not in a radio format, not in a frickin' TV format, not in a YouTube video format, and nothing, right? If you look at the alternative media in New Zealand, there's basically two publications, magazines, Investigate magazine by Ian Wishart, who used to be a top journalist here until the police started trying to assassinate him for uncovering a huge banking scam that was happening in New Zealand, went on to create a book called AirCon about how the UN global agenda to tax carbon and destroy all human life on Earth. And the second publication is Uncensored, which is co-edited by Catherine Smith and Jonathan Eisen. Catherine Smith, who's a trained herbalist who wrote the Cancer Prevention Handbook, and Jonathan Eisen, who wrote Suppressed Inventions and Other Discoveries, which is a very, very famous big-selling book. He also made two of 60 Minutes' top-rated shows ever, one about cannabis and the drug war, and I think the other one was about vitamin C or chemtrails or something, I forget which. But you have these real talented people, but that's only two magazines. And magazines are not the way to get information out to much, much wider audiences these days, are they? Very few people continue to read. Those who do, on the other hand, really, really appreciate those magazines, as do I. And I've collaborated with these individuals because that's what I really started out doing, is I wanted to stand on the shoulders of giants in order to touch the sky. And now I am, in essence, skyrocketing upwards. And now my website, just one of my websites, is bigger than both of their websites individually. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, and these are people who have been, who have had reputations that are massive, massive publications that have been going for years and years. And here I am, little Vinny Eastwood, 27 years old. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, and I've got the biggest guest from George Norrie, who had 29 and 35 million listeners a frickin' night, or a Foster Gamble from the Thrive movie, which has gone on like bazillions of hits or whatever, and sure enough, guilt by association works both ways, I've found. If I've got really cool, amazing, decent people around me, my great hope is that all this stratospheric success will not go to my head. But if it does, my best friends will be the chief scumbaggery exposers on Earth. And if I ever turned into some form of douchebag, they would expose me and dethrone me and tell me to pull my fracking head in, as I would do for any one of my friends who becomes too full of themselves. Because once you get too full of yourself, you get too far ahead of yourself.
Yes, and no one wants to listen to an egomaniac, because then you'd just be another Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly, or, you know, all the various incarnations of the same exact person. I mean, it's amazing. They clone brains and then throw them in different looking people, and people call it diverse opinions when you turn on the TV. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, you know what? I've never been one who does the same thing as everybody else. I've always been a person who expresses myself in a uniquely Vinnie Eastwood way. And what I've seen, what I have done, would boggle anybody's mind. Okay? I mean, very few people can say with authority that they have ambushed their head of state twice. You know? Or their former head of state, pumper up at the UN, Helen Clark, asked her questions about the New World Order and the global government and things like that, and she toddled merrily off. And we've gone out and and that was in the first few years. That was when I was going out trying to talk to these so-called important people and get their take on things and ambush them and da-da-da-da-da. You know what it accomplished? A few hits. And I realized something. I wasn't really supposed to actually expose or accost or attack any of the bad people. What I was meant to do is expose to the world and collaborate with the good people. Thus, I'm filling people's heads full of something that is positive, inspirational, funny, new, interesting and eclectic. There's so many different topics that we've covered on the show. I could take a 2-hour show just listing off words and titles of topics that we've covered, and it wouldn't be enough time. I've got so much different information, and this is how you become wise, I believe, is if you listen to everybody. And then you take your bits and pieces of things that are real about it and discard the rest, because so many people in this movement get at each other's throats. Like, if you've ever seen PatriotWars.com or the situation that's going on with Alex Jones and Pete Santilli right now.
I'm not familiar with the first one, actually. I have to admit, before we continue, I definitely, unfortunately, I can get caught up in the bad side of the news far more often than not. And it's probably because I'm one of those people who I can continue to have a sense of humor, and I can read the most depressing story on earth and I don't, you know, break down in tears and get fetal for 6 hours at a time. And, you know, it's sad because many people don't have that ability, and I think you're doing wonderful work in bringing the lighter side of genocide to a larger audience, definitely.
Yeah, well, worry and stress is kind of like a drug or a toxin, maybe. You can develop immunities to it, and it takes more and more in order to get you high or crack you or whatever side effect that you're talking about. And laughter releases endorphins and things of that nature. And this is pretty much what I guarantee every single one of my guests. I will make you laugh during this broadcast. Okay? Guaranteed. And I like to get the videos of my guests as well. Like, if we're doing it on Skype or whatever, I'll get their video, and then if their video cuts out or something like that, what I'll do is I'll actually take screenshots of points when they're laughing getting their cackle on, and that will be the screenshot that I'll use for the archives and what have you. And I've only just been doing this recently because I want to have like a catalogue of all of these really great, really interesting people who've had frickin' horrible things happen to them, who are telling you things that will scare the living pants off you, laughing their asses off. Now
yes.
Don't you get it? That's how these people have remained sane, and that is the true objective of the show. I don't give a frack if the show wakes anybody up. I don't care about that. What I care about is the people who are already awake, for whom we are stressing out, so that they can remain sane, so that they don't shut down again. I've seen too many people wake up and then get too stressed out, not find a coping mechanism, and shut back down again, and all that potential is wasted.
Yeah, indeed, and you're quite right. You know, before I started getting into this kind of stuff and changed my life trajectory, so to speak, I was studying psychology, and you know, it is the link between cortisol, which is, you know, one of the stress hormones, and various illnesses, is incredibly strong. I mean, stress really does kill. I mean, I even saw a National Geographic documentary on it. It is linked to so many horrific things. And, you know, with the way the world is today, it is far too easy to let that be the controlling emotion of your life, the norm, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, people walk around, they look at their shoes, they go to their slave job that they really hate, and they have to get themselves out of bed early in the morning, much earlier than they want to. They come home much later than they would ever wish to. They stay in traffic much longer than they would ever be prepared to tolerate if they had a choice. And they think to themselves, I'm normal, because I get to go out on the weekends and blow all this money that I made on alcohol and weed, and that keeps me sane. And you get to the point where you're thinking, man, frack, there's got to be a hell of a lot more coping mechanisms, because when you walk out your door and you're in full awareness, you understand just how many chemicals and toxins and EMF radiation and cell phone towers and wireless and blah, 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 umpteen different bazillion toxic effects that are occurring to you just on a normal day through from your cornflakes to the coating on your spoon to your shoes, which have, you know, it's just everything hurts us and toxifies us. Everything, you know? And I think maybe it's a possibility that because we're surrounded by so many bad things, it causes us to think that these bad things are absolutely everywhere at all times, and that there is no escape from them. And so we choose to dull our senses or dull our bodies during these, you know, fast drinking culture type things that we have here in New Zealand. And I'm sure there's a hell of a lot of alcoholism in the States, and drug use is all over the place. And some people instead turn to religions because that's their drug of choice. Oh, I'm going to have to abdicate all my responsibility and just basically say that one book has all the knowledge of the universe, and I never need to so much as pick up a frickin' magazine or read a frickin' flyer or frickin' do anything without God actually visiting me and frickin' telling me. You know, that's kind of not entirely dissimilar from the same mentality of watching the mainstream news and believing everything that it says. It's still a belief structure that you haven't corroborated, that you haven't put into practice, that you haven't made your life better with in a lot of ways. And this is the disease that I'm fighting right now, is just this dependence on crutches of all kinds in order to just keep doing things in a normal way. Something's very, very wrong here. Doesn't anybody else feel it? That there's some real messed up things going on, and it's like you can't do anything to stop it, and your family call you crazy, and you get abused by people for absolutely no reason. You get this prices of everything going up at all times. The politicians don't listen to you. You know, you can spiral yourself into madness thinking this way, and people freaking do. If anybody says that there ain't crazy conspiracy theorists out there, that person is a liar and a disinfo agent.
Yeah, and it is very easy to if you operate only in that mode, so to speak, it is extremely, extremely frustrating, you know, having conversations with people on various social media platforms. I mean, it really is futile after a while. You're just screaming at a wall, basically. And if you let that be your everyday existence, I mean, I would be pulling my hair out constantly, and I have a lot of hair, but I'd probably be bald. I mean, it really is frustrating. I mean, one example is, you know, there was this Facebook post from some, you know, big pro Barack Obama page, and it had a picture of all the presidents, and it said, "Who's your favorite president?" And everyone was like, "Obama, Obama." And I'm like, "Can you guys seriously say that, you know, with him signing away our right to due process?" And then, of course, it got deleted. And if I, you know, if I was thinking, "Oh, that's the only way I can operate in the world," I'd definitely be going insane. I can say that much.
Yeah, well, I pride the human condition with the capacity for creativity and problem-solving abilities. We weren't meant to live this way, and it's pretty simple. If everything's the wrong way up, just turn it upside down. You know what I'm saying? Do the direct opposite of everything that you see. If the politicians are lying all the time and deleting your comments, what you do is you tell the truth all the time and block them from making any comments. Okay? You do the exact same thing back to them for what they're doing to you, and suddenly you realize they've got no defense. Okay?
There really is, when it comes down to it, when people are operating in a sphere of ignorance, essentially, and you're challenging their beliefs. I had an interesting exchange on Facebook with someone who is a very, very extremely, I can use several superlatives and hyperbolic adjectives, but this person was a very devout Roman Catholic, and their responses were just mind-bending. I mean, really, it's hard to grasp how some people can operate.
Because that person was insane, and you were trying to understand an insane person. Do you know what you'd have to do in order to your own mind in order to understand insanity?
Go insane.
duh.
And it's not a very productive route to go.
Okay, what's your priority? What's your priority? Is your priority to deal with people who are freaking idiots who won't listen, who are insane? Or is your priority to deal with intelligent people who can teach you something that you don't already know, and maybe a bit of vice versa, and you can create a relationship and perhaps some business interests or something else of value together, okay? Collaboration is when I leave half of my ego at the door, but I still retain some of it. You leave half your ego at the door, but still retain some of it, and we combine what's left. 1 + 1 = 2, so we become an entity that's greater than either one of us by ourselves. And that's what I find is the key here, is that people have become dehumanized, and they don't value the human condition. I do. I feel emotions very intensely. I feel connections with people very, very quickly. I am honest. I am genuine. And I don't want to spend my life messing around with people who don't appreciate that, because I have something good to offer and I want to help and I want a return on that investment. I want to talk to you. And at the same time as I'm teaching you things or telling you stuff, I want a return on that. I want you to ask me more poignant questions. I want you to tell me bits of research that perhaps I haven't mentioned yet, and then I can either go, "Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Thank you very much." So it's a back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You have to have that. If it's just one person sitting up there telling everybody how it is and nobody says a fracking thing back, it's a cult.
Indeed, and if we can go back to the poisonous tree in your front yard analogy, it's like trying to take one of those little hatchets that's about, you know, the length of your forearm and trying to sit there by yourself and hack away at this tree, you know, with a trunk the diameter of you know, like 5 feet. That will take a lot longer compared to, you know, getting one of those, 1800s two-person logging saws and doing the whole back and forth. I think you'd cut through that tree a lot faster using more than one person and, you know, these implements that can only be wielded by two people.
How's I disagree. That? The ability for an individual to cut down that tree, even with that hatchet, he could do it all by himself and it would get done. Or that individual could get creative and he could figure out different ways of felling trees that nobody ever thought of. Maybe he's a military specialist and he's got a spare claymore mine lying around that shoots out razor-sharp monofilament at explosive speeds, and you can cut down a tree with only one of them positioned properly. Maybe the person's a controlled demolition expert and he can lay some charges and some primacord and some thermite onto the base of that tree and bring it down that way. Maybe they've got directed energy weapons or something like that. See, people come up with this stuff on their own, okay? And what I've found is what we've forgotten is that an individual is more powerful than the group. always has been. Throughout history, it's always the individuals who rule over the groups. Kings, queens, or emperors, or religious leaders, or whatever. It's always an individual who's got other people underneath them. There's never any working together. It's always, I'm the man, and you are all my fracking slaves. However, there have been other points in history where a guy comes up and goes, I'm the man, and I'm not going to let any of you be slaves, and I will solve this problem. And they do. People like Gandhi, preached nonviolence, when the British were bashing these big groups of Indians who were protesting with their sticks and what have you, they had lines of men and lines of women, and they would go forward in formation. The men would take the hits of the batons, and then the line of women would pull those men back and attend to their wounds, and then the next line of men would come in and they'd be smashed in, and the women would take them back, until eventually every single baton of those British officers was snapped in half upon human flesh and they were unable to hurt anybody anymore. Hugo Chavez, he had a huge campaign to get elected as the president of Venezuela. He promised the people of Venezuela that when he was elected president, he would kick out the foreign corporations that were taking all their oil money, and he would give it back to the people for whom it properly deserved. And also he said, I will definitely implement the teachings of the Charter of your rights as a citizen of Venezuela, and I will teach these Charter of Independence to absolutely every school in the country, even if I have to go to the classrooms and teach them myself. And he did. 2 years after he'd taught everybody about this, the CIA staged a coup on him, and they removed him from power and took him offshore. Within a couple of days, there were 2 million people in the streets saying, no fracking way, because they knew their rights. They knew them very intensely, and they knew who would inform them of him. And so they threw out the coup CIA-sponsored government and brought back Hugo Chavez, who is still there to this day, suffering of cancer, which I think is a little suspicious.
And he does too. He claims it was a CIA developed cancer, essentially.
It's what they do. And the third revolution would be that of the Americans, where George Washington, and I think how many people was it? It was actually a very small clique of people, all of which are either high level Freemasons or affiliates of Freemasons anyway, but they pledged their land, they pledged their fortunes, and they pledged their sacred honor to abolishing tyranny. And only 3%, 4% tops of the US population supported this small group of people. And they won against the British Empire, the largest military and the largest navy anybody'd ever seen throughout history, with less than 4% popular support. Those three revolutions throughout history teach us very important lessons about the power of the individual. It's as soon as when you start saying, I need more people to help me with this, that's the moment when you've already lost your power of your individuality. You can do fracking anything, but it's only those people whose reach exceeds their grasp who actually really find out how far they can reach in the first place. The more faith you have and the more commitment you have, the more likely you are to succeed. Far more likely than 99 people who are haphazardly, half-assedly posting a few YouTube videos every now and again and doing a few comments. I'm producing 3-4 hours-ish per day of audio and video content by myself without anybody so much as posting anything for me. Okay, and this is because I've taken personal responsibility, and when I saw a new program, or when somebody else wants to interview me, or when I need to edit an audio archive in a different way so that I have different clips and things like that for people to absorb it, I don't say, no, I need somebody else to do that, I'm going to leave it on there. I just go, you know what, I'm just going to force myself to do it. And then you suddenly find yourself in the habit of it, and then you start seeing returns for what you're doing by an increase in listenership and more people listening, more people following, more people viewing, going over 1 million hits on the YouTube channel, and so on and so forth. And you suddenly realize, hey, I didn't need anybody. I'm that powerful. We're all that powerful, but very few of us realize it, and that's exactly what the New World Order doesn't want us to find out, is that by ourselves, we can beat them at their own game. I'm drawing more popular support in the New Zealand press than the mainstream media are at this very moment, by the admission of a mainstream media journalist who came round and interviewed me a couple of weeks ago. Isn't that interesting?
Indeed, and the funny thing to me is that people still consider the mainstream media to be the sole legitimate platform and the largest platforms and all this stuff, but they are dying. They are flailing around trying to grasp onto something because they are drowning next to the alternative media.
Two examples to back that up. Number one, Fox News and CNN, during prime time, 6 o'clock news, had lower ratings than the Chuck Norris Total Gym infomercial. In 2008, in New Zealand, MediaWorks, which owns basically half the media in this country, had to apply to the government for a loan to pay $40 million in unpaid broadcasting fees because nobody wants to advertise with them.
And it's funny because people still somehow consider it legitimate while it is dying before their eyes.
Incidentally, the communications minister, for New Zealand was a guy named Mr. Stephen Joyce, who was the former CEO of MediaWorks, who then negotiated that $40 million of government bailouts to MediaWorks after he gets elected. And then he gives the Prime Minister, John Key, who used to work for the Federal Reserve for 2 years on Wall Street as Merrill Lynch's representative for derivatives trading in European bond and derivatives market, on the board of the frickin' Federal Reserve in New York, he gives him an hour in the height of election season on MediaWorks Radio, the Prime Minister's Hour. The first time any Prime Minister has actually been given anything by a corporation on in terms of being on air and hosting their own fracking show, and he gives it to him through the company who he used to be CEO of.
It's hilarious.
In the height of election season, when they're not supposed to be able to talk about elections, like this is like the day before the election or something like that, you know how you're not supposed to talk about the election the day before them? This was during that time. And they said to the Prime Minister, okay, you're not allowed to talk about politics, so you can talk about your cat, you can talk about Coronation Street, you can talk about music, but you, the Prime Minister, who's up for election tomorrow, can't talk about politics today. Are you fracking kidding me? It's implied!
Yeah, of course. And, you know, it's funny because that whole give and take is so incredibly common in every single sector. I mean, it really is. I mean, we were just talking on an episode I recorded recently about, you know, the ties between the government and Monsanto. Of course, it's just a revolving door. And, of course, you know, the Federal Reserve and the banking industry, they're bailing out their own corporations. You know, I mean, it's wild. And it's nice to see you encouraging that kind of cooperation in the alternative media instead of us pushing against each other, working together, because they certainly are. that much is evident, so why don't we do the same?
Yeah. I think that's what's really happening with all the things that are happening all over the world essentially are happening in much the same way, okay? And I've got like this the song that we did, it's called Monsanto. They got tumors, mice, and all things nice, and you will pay the price. Monsanto, Monsanto, they're invading private property with GMOs and DDT. Monsanto, Monsanto, monopolies on battery farms with six-legged chickens that do no harm. Monsanto, Monsanto, bringing down the USA with a revolving door at the FDA. Monsanto, Monsanto. They're legalizing genocide, and it is not the lighter side. Monsanto. Monsanto. Your cows are grazing on super grass, and when you eat it comes out your ass. Monsanto. Monsanto. You know, these motherfuckers are dangerous. Why do you think they bought Blackwater but for us? Monsanto. Monsanto. It's like a, it's like an 8-minute song that we came up with, just kind of all poured out of my mouth like that.
What I want to know is when can I buy your album? That's what I want to know.
Well, we're in the production of the album at the moment. I've got about maybe half a dozen really, really good songs at the moment that we need to just kind of re-record, maybe do a little bit of post-production work on. My producer worked in Hollywood for about 20 years producing music. You know Bobby Darin, the Beach Boys, and all of that kind of stuff. Like the person who found Bobby Darin of the Beach Boys mentored my producer. So we're going to be sitting down.
So you're going to be the Beach Boys of New Zealand with a truth or twist, so to speak.
Well, we call ourselves the Pakehachis, right? Now, in New Zealand, there's a Maori world called Pakeha, which means a non-Maori New Zealander. And in Spain and Mexico as well, they have these traveling musicians called mariachis. So we're the Pakeha mariachis, hence the Pakehachis. And it's just me and my mate Mikhail, who's it's like 50 or something like that, but he's an incredible flamenco guitarist. And we just kind of get together and we jam and we come up with songs. And And I've got the gear, I've got the microphone and all of that kind of stuff. And I've always really wanted to make music. I don't play instruments, I mean, but I did. I do kind of have quite a varied voice. You know, I can do accents or whatever. Like I did a rap song in a South African accent once. That was it was pretty funny. Yeah.
Well, I will be on the pre-order list for that album, definitely. But we just have a couple more minutes here until we're gonna break for the first hour. But in the second hour, I definitely want you to tell us a little bit about what's going on in New Zealand, because you know, I think a lot of people, myself included, are just completely ignorant about what is going on in that island halfway around the world. So I hope you can tell us a little more about that. But
now, it's interesting that you said completely ignorant about that island. Because it's islands, plural.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's a North Island, a South Island, and Stewart Island, and the Chatham Islands, and all of this other kind of stuff. And also, we're not a part of Australia. As you know, how many Americans you know how many Americans have introduced me on my radio show and asked me what's going on down there in Australia? It's unbelievable.
I thought New Zealand was just the parking lot for Australia.
No. We don't have the snakes, we don't have the spiders, we don't have the toads. Basically, the most dangerous thing that you can find in New Zealand is at a bar.
A drunk New Zealander?
Yeah. In fact, at the Munich Beer Festival in Germany, New Zealanders and Australians are the only two nationalities who have a separate tent for them. Like the whole world drinks together. The whole world drinks together, but they don't want the New Zealanders or the Australians anywhere near their frickin' beer.
I'm surprised they allow the Irish to get in there, honestly.
Well, there was a poll taken in New Zealand that I believe it was 59% of New Zealand women thought that our Prime Minister John Key was attractive, and I thought that really highlighted the drinking problem we have in this country.
Yes, and you know, from what I've heard, New Zealand is absolutely beautiful as well. I mean, you got really varied climate.
We're like on the 50th down on the environmental list. So like there's 50 countries who are doing better with their environment than we are. All our beautiful pristine rivers and everything like that, they're all full of cow crap. All our wonderful pristine bush and what have you, that you could go out and hunt deer or something like that, all the deer get killed by poison that rains down from the sky on purpose by the government to control possums. and all our recycling that we collect simply either goes to landfill or gets shipped to China, paid to ship to China.
Where they burn it, of course. They actually burn the plastic. That's how they recycle it. But unfortunately, we're going to come up on the first hour break here right now. You're listening to End the Lie Radio. I'm your host, Madison Rupert. And of course, my website is endthelie.com. And today, our guest is the wonderful New Zealander, Vinny Eastwood of the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. We will be back in moments with much more exciting content and hopefully a few more laughs. We won't make you cry today and curl up in the fetal position all night, hopefully. So we will be back in moments. Stick with us. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to hour two of End the Lie Radio. I'm your host, Madison Rupert, and today our guest is Vinny Eastwood of the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. And he is also across YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, etc., etc. And he is operating out of New Zealand, but reaching across the United States and the world for that matter. And I must say, this is one of the few episodes where I actually have had a good laugh, and that is a wonderful thing. And I assume our listeners are as well, unless they're totally cold and brain dead. And I hope most of ours are not. Or else you probably would have stopped listening to this show a long time ago. But we have been having a freewheeling discussion, and I really enjoyed it. But I do want to know a little bit about what's going on in the islands, plural, over in New Zealand. See, I'm not that ignorant. I do learn occasionally. But tell us a little bit about what is going on over there, because, I mean, we're totally insulated over here in the United States. Most people have no clue what's going on outside of their hometown. So tell us a little bit about what is going on over there, if you would, Vinny.
Well, let's relay it in an American fashion. You know how you've got a dictator for a president, but there's three houses of government, you know? So it's supposed to have a little bit of checks and balances?
Yes. Imaginary checks and balances, yes.
All right. So in New Zealand, there's not even imaginary checks and balances. There's one prime minister, and he gets to handpick an appointed cabinet to do everything, hold all the portfolios, and that's it. For 4 years. And he gets to call the election when he wants to, and they generally call them around the middle of some kind of football season or whatever, because nobody's freaking watching the election. If men in tights are clutching balls and rubbing against each other, the election coverage just goes right out the window, mate. You know?
Well, at least they have their priorities straight, right?
Mm-hmm. In fact, there was. It was interesting. My YouTube channel was getting more hits than the ruler of New Zealand's YouTube channel during the height of election season during our last election. So that was quite interesting.
So, right. It seems like it's a wonderful state of affairs. It sounds like. But
now you know how you've got the Federal Reserve in America, right?
Of course,
we have the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. You know how the Reserve Banks, Federal Reserve Bank or whatever, Bank of England, etc., are all run by the Rothschilds, right?
Yes, yes.
What does Rothschild mean in German?
Red Shield.
And what would you suppose is on the wall behind the front desk when you walk through the front doors of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand?
Wild guess, Red Shield.
A big red shield.
Well, at least they're subtle, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know how you got past the Patriot Act and you can illegally wiretap anybody and surveil people without warrants issued or anything like that?
Yes, of course, but it's only the big bad terrorists. Come on.
And now we've got the Search and Surveillance Bill, which was passed after this raid that happened. They called them the terror raids, right? All the cops in their big black uniforms and laser pointer guns and it was just unbelievable. Descended on these activists from all over the country. And these raids coincided with similar high-scale level raids in like 18 different countries on the same day. And they were pulling overweight painters and Māori sovereign activists and things like that out onto the street, pointing guns at their children's heads. They were crying. They were stopping Maori elder women on the street before heading into the town, pointing guns at them. This kind of thing. That's why they call them the terror raids. And 7 out of the 9 warrants that were issued during those raids were ruled illegal by Justice Winkleman, who then sealed that judgment and forbid the media from reporting that the majority of the terror raids were illegal. That's New Zealand. In New Zealand, our judges...
My mind is seriously mind-bending. I mean, how...
In New Zealand, the judicial system...
How does anyone look at that and say, oh, okay, that makes sense?
The judicial system is very interesting too. There's about 144 High Court justices in this country, and about 67 of them are related at least by first cousin. The Supreme Court of New Zealand, which was recently built at a cost of $30-something million dollars to house only 8 judges' courtrooms. 2 of those 8 judges are a husband and wife. So you could imagine that we have an enormous clique of highly dominant, interrelated elites in this country who rule it with an iron fist. And we have a bunch of other people in this country who think that the competition between these parties is real. We have other people who think that, on the other hand, this competition is not real. In truth, all sides and all parties are beholden to the same structure. That structure being, of course, the globalist agenda and New World Order, whatever myriad of labels that can be applied to it, of course. And we are a perfect test country for New World Order agendas. For example, we were the first people to get the cashless society model. We have a card where you can go. It's called EFTPOS, which possibly means we're effed. And you swipe your card. It tracks everything. Tracks where you bought it. Barcodes, what you bought. All goes back into the central database. No cash. You can still get cash, but most people just pay by EFTPOS because it's easier. And sure enough, after EFTPOS was rolled out here, you had similar things started to be rolled out in other parts of the world. Some people wouldn't like it. Some people didn't take it. But it just goes to show you that if you want to be a tyranny that works, you've got to test out your little tyrannical fashions on a population that's of a similar education level, speaks a similar language, is brainwashed with the same American media as America and Britain, for that matter, before you start rolling out all your agendas there. I watched Parliament television one time, and nobody watches Parliament television for a very good reason. It doesn't broadcast most of the time. It's only during specific sessions where people are being passing laws and having debates and what have you, which is generally during the middle of the day, so nobody's home because everybody's working, and so nobody is able to follow the politics even if they really wanted to, because there's no rebroadcasts of it either and no archives to get up on the internet. I was sitting down watching this debate. There were 6 out of 120-odd ministers in the room. That was it. 6 representatives out of the whole lot were debating over this bill and passed it through its second reading. The bill was called something like the Mandatory Tagging of All Livestock and Farmers Bill.
That doesn't sound sinister at all.
GPS tracking has to be tagged on every single animal and every single farmer who farms those animals. The justification that was given, are you ready? There are 3 accidents per year, 3 deaths per year, attributed to cars slamming into herds of cattle that are crossing the road.
And that's the cattle's fault and the farmer's fault, of course, not the driver for not seeing a bunch of cattle in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm speechless. I mean, the justifications are so hollow. It's like, what? I mean, I guess it makes sense that they just have to pass it in a somewhat sly manner, or else people will just, you know, no, it's way too obvious.
the former Reserve Bank governor, Don Brash, who was later renamed Bong Hash after he said he would want to legalize cannabis, said in a statement, former Reserve Bank governor, you know, former head of the National Party, the current party that's ruling the country, punted only for the banks because we bailed out all the banks in the similar time frame to when the US first had its bailouts under Bush. And he didn't ask for one share in the banks. So he was at a critical point where he could have talked against the bank's interests. He punted for them. And those are the people that only make it to into the head offices there. The people who they appoint, say, the Associate Health Sinister, Mr. Tony Ryle. Now, he's the health ministerial portfolio. He's a globalist. I wonder which organization he used to work for in order to promote vaccines all over the frickin' world and massive amounts of side effects and reactions. Ah, World Health Organization. Yep, there it is, right in there. And there's another organization called Parliamentarians International, of which there are only two prerequisites in order to get into this exclusive club where they have meetings entitled Sustainability in the 21st Century and ominous things like that, basically Agenda 21 Prime Brainwashing Protocol in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in New York, or in the Hilton Hotel in New Delhi, and all these fancy places and all of that. These are the two prerequisites you have to get in order to be able to get into this very exclusive club. Number one, you have to be elected in seemingly free elections. Number two, you have to pay by credit card.
Oh, wait, I have a quick question about the whole card thing in New Zealand. Are they trying to do the same thing they're doing in the United States, where it is an actual indicator of potential terrorist activity to use cash? Is that seen as suspicious?
Haven't seen anything to suggest that, but if it's happening into the United States, you can be rest assured it's been going on here for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean that's been a very common thing. You know, I constantly read these the FBI and roll call reports that they, you know, distribute to the various police stations, and they had one that went out to you know, hotels and coffee shops, and it said anyone who pays with cash should be treated with deep suspicion.
In New Zealand, the FBI ordered the New Zealand police. Yes, the FBI ordered the New Zealand police to raid the property of a man named Kim.com, who's responsible for MegaUpload.com.
I was going to ask you about him. Please do tell.
The day before he was raided, a police officer came to his door and said, "Hello, I'm from the New Zealand police, and we've been hearing things about piracy and what have you, and I'd like to come in and ask you a few questions and look around your place and all of that kind of stuff." So he said, "Yeah, yes, come on in, come on in. Here, this is my wife, these are my children, these are our computer servers, this is our safe room, this is our gun closet for all the firearms, here's all the licenses, here is the lease for the house, here is my proper ID, it was changed by deed. Paul, these are our records, da 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 da." Gave him everything he wanted. And then the next day, 70, that's right, 70 police in a numerous band of vehicles, including a helicopter or two, descend upon this mansion, guns drawn, on this internet entrepreneur who lives a rather extravagant lifestyle. They confiscate all of his wealth. They freeze all of his bank accounts. No due process. They put an embargo on him from leaving the country. They shut down all of his websites. You type in megavideo.com into your web browser. It comes up with this thing from the FBI saying this is a terrorist website, or blah blah blah, under investigation, etc. With no evidence. There was a 74-page dossier that was given by the FBI to the New Zealand police, accusing him of everything from goodness knows what, hacking, piracy. They could have accused him of money laundering for all I know. The thing is, it was all made up. but no judge in their right mind looks at a person with a rap sheet that is 74 pages long and doesn't issue the warrant. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on here. Incidentally, during all of these things where he was denied due process, his wife, who was pregnant with twins at the time, had no place to live because they'd frozen all their bank accounts and cancelled their bloody property and all of this sort of thing. They destroyed his fracking life, destroyed his reputation. And he comes out swinging. I have not seen a man of caliber like this in many years. He exposes all of the BS, even writes songs about these politicians who donated to him and then claimed that they didn't. Oh, it's another politician misremembering, etc., etc. You know, the guy comes out of a trial by fire, complete usurpation of the rights of any person, citizen or not. A complete theft of intellectual property and everything. And he comes out smiling, beaming, I'm going to beat these guys. And sure enough, every single time he goes on the media, brilliant. They come up with, but they said you're an internet pirate and you do this and da-da-da-da-da-da and you host large file transfers. And he says, well, I'm not the only one. And he rattles off about 20 names of different websites that do the exact same thing that he's doing that are of comparable size off the top of his head. This guy's at the top of his game. And I don't think these fracks realised who they were dealing with. But there's a deeper agenda here, which I've postulated a theory upon. He'd recently signed a deal and created a web scheme whereby artists could upload their albums in full to megaupload.com and sell them directly to public who could download them for a small amount, a nominal fee, and or full albums and what have you. And they got a massive cut, like 65% of sales, I think, like that. The average sales that you would get with a record contract is about 1%. If you're lucky, usually 0.5, 0.2%.
That's why it's dangerous.
He just signed the Black Eyed Peas, bro. You know, I got a feeling that tomorrow I'm gonna get raided because I gave the Black Eyed Peas better contracts than they did. Oh, see, that kind of stuck out at me like a big thumb. The media doesn't talk about that side of things, on the other hand, because I believe the New World Order fracks who have ties in all the intelligence agencies and the web all over the place, they identify the most creative, the most entrepreneurial, and the people who usually would not bow to BS and would fight them in court and what have you, and they single them out as lambs to the slaughter, essentially. These are usually happens to particular people who haven't hurt nobody, never intended to, and are otherwise doing their business in an honest and creative manner, and are otherwise decent, upstanding members of society. I believe this was to send a message. Don't mess with our brainwashing mechanisms. You're giving people a decent chunk of their record-producing label so that our evil scumbaggery record-producing pieces of trash who get choreographers to get Lady Gaga to do satanic worshipping dances on stage for little girls and things of that nature, you won't be able to have our dirty, filthy, child pedophile raping hands on those kids no more because you're undercutting us. You're a bad person, MrKim.com, and we show you what we do to bad people. Yes.
You will find it. And the funniest thing is that he was charged with various conspiracies. That's my favorite thing. It's conspiracy to commit racketeering, conspiracy to commit copyright infringement, conspiracy to commit money laundering, and criminal copyright infringement, which is hilarious because he never infringed on a single copyright.
Yeah.
Other people did. Other people used his service. You don't see YouTube getting shut down because people, illegally upload things on there. See? I mean, it's a complete joke.
Well, it's because it's actually lawful to create a product that gets used in a crime, so long as you're not selling that product in order for it to be used in a crime. So, for example, you could sell somebody a balaclava off the in your ski shop, and somebody and thinking that person would be using the balaclava to do maybe cross-country skiing or something so their nose doesn't freeze off, and then that person goes and robs a bank. And then you go to that ski shop because you found out where he got the balaclava, and then you shut down the ski shop because somebody who bought an item of yours committed a crime.
Yeah, it's a totally logical approach to law enforcement, right? I mean, you shut down car manufacturers because people use them as getaway cars for bank robberies. I mean, it makes complete sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything with a 22-inch full by four has been recalled because it's dangerous and they get used in crimes by gangster rappers or whatever. So
yeah,
it's the insanity. And Kim.com, not knowing about all of this insanity as we do, suddenly had a very rude awakening, and he's become essentially one of the be-all and end-all type of premier truthers in the country, because he's seen the scumbaggery firsthand, and he has the contacts and the resources and the people that are willing to do him favors for free and everything, because he's such a good dude to them over the years and what have you. You can tell when somebody made their millions off of doing the right thing versus somebody who made millions off of committing scumbaggery against good people. Because when you get taken to jail, like Bernie Madoff or something like that, suddenly nobody's out there to support you. You know, you're left out in the cold. If you get sent to jail, on the other hand, everybody's suddenly at your fracking doorstep, pounding down your door, asking in any way, shape, or form if they can help, if they can support you, if they can give you coverage, if they can donate some money, if they can give some food to your family, and all the stuff started happening for Kim.com, man. It's kind of the two different types of millionaires. One millionaire will have $1 million in the bank, but he'll have about two or three people that'll do anything for him. The other millionaire will have $2 or $3 in the bank, but he'll have 1 million people that'll do anything for him. That's the kind of millionaire I want to be.
Yeah. And I mean, it's scary to me too, because you know, people, if you want to see these notices that they put up, and by the way, they shut down these websites regularly with this same graphic. It's, you know, got the three logos. It's got the Department of Justice, the FBI anti-piracy warning, and the IPR Center, which is the National Intellectual Property Rights Coordination Center. Protection is our trademark. And it's got this eagle grabbing this banner. It's quite wild. But they say it was seized with the website megaupload.com, has been seized pursuant to an order issued by a U.S. district court. But this is the scary part. A federal grand jury has indicted several individuals and entities allegedly involved in the operation of megaupload.com and related crimes or related websites, charging them with the following federal crimes. No one's been proven guilty. I mean, no one's guilty. There hasn't been any actual, convictions here. It's all alleged. They're all charges. It's completely total allegations. So I mean, that seems to be the case now. That they can essentially
How many people currently use and have a megaupload.com account? Huge amounts. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people.
Legally, of course, too.
They all paid for it. And guess how many of them are able to get any of their files, any of their albums, or anything of theirs that they uploaded, copyrighted or not? Not a single one.
Yep.
So what you're doing here is it's nuking a city to catch one or two people, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's scary because, it's really not scary as much as it is disgusting to think that legitimate businesses that used Mega Upload to, you know, back up their files or maybe, send family pictures to someone, you know, whatever. There are so many people who used it for completely legitimate purposes. And of course, there was piracy. But the thing is, if you ever used it for piracy, you would know that they shut down, they would close links very quickly once they were reported as pirated material.
Now, the thing is, they have to be reported. You can't, as an administrator, go through everybody's private accounts and see what they've uploaded. It would not only would it take forever, but it's also a breach of their privacy. Okay, so at that time when they're accusing him of conspiracy for allowing people to use his service for such and such and such, every single person who'd ever reported a piece of pirated material on megaupload.com was removed in a timely manner. Every single time.
Yep.
So they can't say what they're saying, but yet they are. Okay, this is something G. Edward Griffin said, and it was a great quote. They deny with their mouths what they're doing with their hands. And what this seems to be is a setup, essentially. A fall guy. A stooge, if you will, because every single other website owner, I can guarantee you, that is doing anything similar to, in the caliber to what Kim.com has been doing with MegaUpload.com, is sitting there watching this, scared out of their minds that it could happen to them. And they're afraid, man. And that's the real best part about operations like this, is the fear.
The
you start making people afraid. They stop thinking. That's what fear does to you. It stops you from thinking, and it switches off your alpha waves, which are the logical and the analytical part of your brain, and switches you into a fight-or-flight reptilian brain, which is down the lower cortex of your skull, which basically dominates the mind of sociopaths. You know, sex, accumulation of wealth, greed, attacking somebody or running the heck away and just being scared out of your mind or what have you. You know, that's the part of the brain that gets activated when you're afraid. And I think that this might have a significant effect. But then again, they might just be stirring up the hornet's nest here. You know what I'm saying? Have you noticed people who have some... I don't know. People who see injustice and wish to change said injustice and are willing to do anything in order to do so, either succeed or are assassinated. And it depends upon their situation whether or not an assassination would be able to get away with. But masses of connections or things like that. There's a range of different factors about why somebody would get assassinated, which is generally why the only people that get assassinated are massive political leaders, you know, people who have gained a huge amount of sway with the people. Anybody who can raise a rabble around them and can be bumped off if the occasion is absolutely necessary, if they won't be bribed, if they won't be reasoned with, if they won't compromise or whatever. Sorry, mate. We tried to be lenient with you by forcing you to do what we want you to do without you having any choice in the matter. But now you've forced us to play hardball, and we're going to kill you.
You know, and it's completely true. I can't think of a single website that was offering a service somewhat similar to Mega Upload, which, if people aren't familiar, all they did, while they were starting their own record label and all this other stuff, MegaUpload.com specifically, all they did was allow you to freely upload and download files. That is it. That's all they did, okay? And every other website that offered that service, it sent them running for the hills. Most shut down all functionality that even slightly resembled anything like that. And the few that remain have really clamped down and started, highly restricting uploads and downloads and all this stuff. I mean, it's absolutely shocking to me to see what they can do.
You can be guaranteed that that's either the result of them looking at this Kim.com story and think, man, it's going to happen to me next. Or the FBI not only sent notices out to Kim.com with stuff like that, but they actually sent them out to all the providers in a threatening manner, using all that word language like investigation, audit, or surveillance, or critical analysis, or scrutiny. Anything like that, which people who use the internet don't like. they don't like people knowing what they're doing. I mean, it's like some guy sitting in the corner of his room furiously doing something that you can't mention on FCC-regulated radio certainly didn't want the government or anything, even his wife knowing how often he visits a porn website and jacks it in the middle of the day, you know? This is the kind of thing that we're really talking about here. They're saying that there's supposed to be a limit to privacy, and I say there shouldn't be a limit to privacy, because the only time when privacy actually becomes dangerous is when it's no longer private and it starts affecting other people. Like, for example, somebody using, I don't know, some kind of website where they upload stuff, such as megaupload.com. They've got a private thing. Let's say me, I wanted to send a music album that I produced or a video that I produced to a studio over in the United States or whatever. Megaupload.com, type it in, upload the file, send a link over to those people in the United States. They click the link, enter in the password, download the file. That's an intended use. What I don't want is my intellectual property being scrutinized by people who I don't want to be part of this conversation. Okay, let's say you're having a conversation with your mates outside in a bar or a cafe or something like that, and you're just talking about normal stuff or your relationship or what have you, and a police officer walks up to you and he goes, "What are you guys talking about?" And you go, "Well, pardon me, but it's none of your fracking business, mate." You know, until we actually start hurting other people and bringing other people into these things by default, and it really has to have a measure of harm, then stay the hell out of your business. That's how I look at all laws. Has this person damaged somebody physically or stolen or damaged their property? No?
Well, the argument would be,
then it's none of your business.
In the United States, they would be like, "Well, you did hurt someone, a corporation, and corporations are people, so how dare you hurt someone?"
Okay, quantify the damage. What property did they lose? Okay, did they, was it stolen per se, as in there was actually a physical thing that was taken and
nope.
Off of you? How much profit did you lose? Can you quantify that? Would somebody have bothered to watch your movie if they had to pay $17 to see Piranha 3DD?
Never.
This is the insanity of it. Possession, hierarchy, structure. This is what the New World Order is really all about. Total control of what everybody's talking about and everybody's thinking and doing. And this has nothing to do with whether or not people are stealing movies or music. And this has all to do with the free access and sharing of information. That, I think, is probably one of the main domineering factors that is really driving the truth forward and home to people, is that they now, through the internet, have free access to information. Large quantities of it. Videos that are 3, 7, 8 hours long. Okay, that are easily accessible from your desktop at home. That's never been capable before. We've had a geometric growth in the capacity of certified individuals to know about geopolitics, quantum physics, and umpteen different other obscure fields that previously virtually nobody at all was aware of, and now a million times more than were previously, are now talking about it almost on a daily basis through the internet. This is the only way we can ever really truly get real information out to people without being censored, without being controlled, without being surveilled, without having repercussions. It's your comfort of your own home. You're not hacking into the DOD. You're not logging down digital orders for heroin trafficked in with C-130 Hercules from the fire service through Afghanistan and Iran. Look, let's just face facts here. Anybody who accuses you of being a terrorist or a criminal is a terrorist and a criminal. All right. That's basically the simple fact. George Bush comes out and he goes, "Oh, there's a network of dangerous terrorists and blah, blah, blah. They want to destroy America's freedom." Yeah, you and your clique of scum, you piece of trash. Every single one of these people, double speak mofos, they just have no comprehension of what it is like to be honest, to be honorable, to care, to have empathy with the other people around them.
Well, the those are negative traits in those businesses. It's an actual negative trait to be honest or to have empathy or to actually care about people or anything like that. It actually puts you at a disadvantage. That's why we see sociopaths running all of these groups. I mean, it makes complete sense.
Yeah, a guy walks into a bar and he's carrying a meter squared of tar seal for the road, and he sits it down on a bar stool and he says, "Can I have two drinks, man? One for me and one for the road." And bartender serves him the drinks. Road takes a drink of it. Man takes a drink of it. Bartender taps the road on the corner and he says, "Hey, look around, mate. There's another piece of road over there, sitting in one of the booths." Road looks around. He goes, "Yeah, there's another road there, and the road's got a big yellow line down the middle of it." And he says, and the bartender says to him, "Why don't you go over and have a drink with him?" And he goes, "Nah, mate, he looks like a psychopath."
You definitely are. You're taking the title of the New Zealand David Letterman already, I swear.
Yeah. I've got Israeli jokes as well. Would you like to hear? They're not racist or anything. They're quite clever.
Please do.
Okay, why are Israelis suspicious of chickpeas?
Why is that? I can guess, but I don't want to.
Because they could become Hamas.
that's actually pretty good, I gotta say.
Which is incidentally why you don't take Israelis out for Turkish kebabs. Because they'll shoot at the Hamas.
Oh, man.
Do you know how to say hello in Hebrew?
How's that?
You say shalom, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so what do Israeli tank crews say if they see a group of Palestinian children?
What's that?
Shalom.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Not as horrible as the truth.
Yeah, that is very true, unfortunately. By the way, has there been any more news stories of Mossad agents getting busted in New Zealand? It seems like your country is their favorite country. They just love to go over there and get into some shady business.
Dude, you talk to anybody in the world, really. And you say, "I'm from New Zealand." And they go, "Oh, you know, like, you, oh, you're so lucky, so beautiful, and Lord of the Rings, etc." So, you go into any airport in the world, and you flash your New Zealand passport. They're like, "Oh, welcome." Because we're all friendly and stuff like that, you know, we're nice people. You go anywhere in the world other than Israel and the United States, and you flash an Israeli passport. They're like, "Oh." You know, you go anywhere in the Middle East or Asia, flashing an American passport, and they're like, "Oh." So naturally, they steal New Zealand and Canadian passports and just use them, because everybody thinks that New Zealand and Canadians aren't threatening. So that's how the threatening people get slipped through, by using your passports. And John Key is the head of the New Zealand Zionist Society, and the head of Freemasons New Zealand, and he's the Prime Minister, and he's the Minister for Tourism. And when the Christchurch earthquake happened, three Israelis were caught in a van, and they had like 11 New Zealand passports on them.
Yes, sir.
And then he said, "Well, one of them died, so we can't do much about that. But two of them are alive, so let's send them on a plane and get them the heck out of here really quickly. And then deny that there's any wrongdoing going on." It's just that straight out in the open. It's real obvious to me because I know what I'm looking for. You know, if you show somebody a Where's Waldo or Where's Wally kind of picture book, and you don't tell them what Wally looks like... Where the hell's Wally? Is he the fat guy wearing the sunglasses? Is he the woman with a moustache? Is he is he the child with the little sandcastle bucket and spade? You know, I can't find where Wally is unless I know who the hell Wally is and what Wally looks like. And I can absolutely assure you, New Zealanders are just as dumb as Americans when it comes to knowing what the hell is going on in their own country. Just as dumb. No idea whatsoever. You walk up to anybody in this country who's got any kind of political affiliation with any type of mainstream media or political party, and they don't have a fracking capacity to understand or even conversate for more than a minute with anybody who has contrary facts, contrary evidence, or a contrary point of view. And they will literally, without even so much as saying goodbye, just turn their back on you and walk away and start talking along with somebody else who's telling them the same thing they've already heard many, many times before. You know why? Because mind control, as the CIA found out, is addictive. And when you're part of a group, I think that group kind of owns you in a little way, you know? I'm a member of the National Party. I'm a member of the Republicans. Really? Where do they hide their members? In their pants? What's going on here? What's their main policy towards the economy? Oh, to help it. Help it how? You don't know what you're talking about, mate. You don't know who you're supporting. You don't even know the name of the second person in command. You know, like, you don't know anything. And that's exactly how they like it. It's a hell of a lot easier to lead people who are morons than it is to lead people who are smart and can think for themselves. Sheep are able to be herded together with only a few sheepdogs. You try to get a group of truthers together, it's impossible. They all hate each other, they've all got differences of opinion, they cannot be get in the same room together. It's impossible to bring the truth movement together. Believe me, I've seen people try and fracking fail. Big time, monstrously. The more people try to bring other people together, the worse things get. So my opinion is, how about we adopt a pre-World War I United States foreign policy to stay the frack out of everybody's fracking business?
Wait, you mean the United States doesn't have to be the world police? I don't understand. That doesn't compute.
This is the real problem. If you want to be famous worldwide, you have to be famous in America. It's just that simple. They got all the media, they got all the money, they got all the government, they got all the weapons, they got all the banking cartels. All right. You can be famous in Europe, but if you're not famous in America, you're not famous worldwide. Okay? Once you get big in America, you get big everywhere. It's just the way it has become structured. And
if you're famous in the United States alone, then you can claim you're famous around the world,
yeah,
world-renowned.
Exactly, because there'll probably be a person in nearly every single country that looks at American TV and American this and American that, and voila, you have yourself fame and celebrity, which is actually what I choose to create, both for myself and the guests on my shows and all these other people that I collaborate with. Because what I've noticed is there's two types of celebrities. The type of celebrity who has no freaking brains and is just basically a vacuous satanic cult member who sells the Pepsi and what have you and has no idea what the heck they're doing. And the other kind are the ones who are aware of what is going on and actually choose to use their reputations to get out information. The problem is all the people that get into that position start losing those positions as soon as they start getting out the information, because they got out there not because they were putting out information, they got out there because they were putting out a fictional character. Okay, on a film or a radio show or something like that. They're not talking about anything real. So as soon as they do start talking about something real, the game changes for them. I believe, on the other hand, that if you make somebody famous for talking about things that are real, there's nothing that can be taken away from them. Nothing. They keep working all day, every day. Holy cow, and jumping Shiite Muslim balls. There's so many people out there who are just working day in, day out. The documentary here, 7 hours of radio there. I'm now one of those people. And what I've figured out about them all is that they just want to live their lives in peace. They don't actually want to be doing any of this. This is my conclusion as well. The problem is, they understand what happens if they don't. You can't leave it alone. Because it
yeah,
will
you're
not,
backed into a corner.
It will not leave you alone. I tried. I tried taking 10 days off after the election to forget about all of this stuff. And I get interrupted like on average 6 times a day by people still wanting to bring this stuff up to me. And all I wanted to do was sit at home and watch some illegally downloaded movies. You know, what's wrong with that? You know? And that's the thing. You can't escape from it. What was really interesting, Madison, is that today is the first day back after my 10-day holiday. And you know what? Instead of being relieved that I was going on holiday, I was relieved to be back in the saddle, relieved to be exposing scumbaggery, relieved to be talking with people about all sorts of stuff. Because during that time off, I recognised something. There really ain't no day off you can take. It's like, if you've ever seen that movie with Will Smith, where he's trapped in New York and it's kind of all dead, a virus has wiped everybody out. Legend, I Am Legend?
Yes.
Right, and he tells the this lady a story about Bob Marley. You know, he believed that he could cure racism, like literally cure it by injecting music into people's lives, you know, like the music was the vaccine vernacular, right?
Yes.
And he was shot one time a day before the concert, and the very next day, he walks on to stage, bandaged up, and does a performance. And he said, if the bad people don't take a day off, neither can I. And then he later died of cancer. Because this is what happens when you don't take a day off. Okay.
It's very true, unfortunately.
Look at it this way, bro. You know, you're one person. And let's say you don't take a day off for 7 years, as my father did. He accomplished 2 things. Firstly, he gained 5 vans and 5 electricians and a major warehouse in Auckland with enough business. And he pioneered CB radios for communication with the vans while they were out on jobs so they didn't have to come back into the station to go out and work. He created Eastwood Forklift Tires, which by the late 80s, early 90s, had a 97% market share for the sale of forklift tires in the Southern Hemisphere. What he also accomplished is having virtually no contact with me, his youngest son, or my sisters, or my brother, and a divorce happened. Okay? So this is what happens when you don't take time off. The things that are actually really important to you, the things that you will regret later on in life, in private, are they actually the things you should be focusing your attention on when needs be? Not your accomplishments. Your accomplishments will be there because once you accomplish something every day, it'll still be there, but it'll still be there tomorrow. However, your loved ones, if they're having to talk to the back of your head while you're stuck at a computer screen every fracking day and never get to have any real personal conversations or any fun with you because you're too busy doing your important work saving humanity and building your media empire and whatnot, the people who were there to support you and get you through that that growth phase in the first place will no longer be there in days to come because you have to spend time developing your relationships with the people around you. And you also have to understand what's going on inside yourself, knowing when you need to take a few days off, knowing when you need to go out and blow off some steam, knowing when you're hungry, knowing when you need another coffee. These kind of things, they sound really simple, but have you ever noticed how the most complicated problems always seem to have the simplest solution? And that's really what it's about, is finding real simple solutions to all these complicated problems so that we can keep working, keep accomplishing things without burning ourselves out and without destroying our families and our relationships with the people that matter. Because those are the people that are actually in your life all the time. You know, my listeners don't see me every day, but most of them will never ever meet me. Okay. So,
and they also won't be the ones, you know, picking you up off the floor after you have a heart attack or you know, the like.
However, they are the ones who finance me. Okay, I survive pretty much solely on donations and subscriptions, of which right now I really need some donations, like right now, because my bank accounts are dry. They are drier than the drought-stricken, chemtrailed central plateaus of the USA right now. And I am struggling to find some money to pay my rent. And this is because I forgot to focus on what I should be doing, is manufacturing more products, making more sales, and going out and calling up advertisers and all of that sort of thing. Because it's really, really hard to produce the show, produce the content, edit it, upload it, and do all these different favors for all these different people, and stay on top of all the stuff that I need to be doing for myself. This is the reason why a lot of people tend to withdraw and then start making it all about them, because they realize that you can't help everybody. And if you try, you're not going to be helping yourself, and you're going to get further and further into a cycle of debt, depression, and then eventually you will start to become narcissistic, you will start to lose your empathy, you will start to not like people anymore, because I'm doing all this for them, but they're not doing anything for me. It's like, you didn't ask them for help, did you, mate? So, well, no. They were listening to you very intently, they love you, they support you, and you don't ask them for help when you need it, and then blame them for not helping you? Retard? You know? That's
yeah,
why I am,
very
I am,
true.
I am unashamed to ask for donations. Here's why. Firstly, I'm the only person in New Zealand that you can really come to see any video or radio content about damn near any guest on the frickin' internet that you could see on the bigger shows from coast to coast or Red Ice Radio or whatever. Secondly, I'm the only place online in New Zealand where you can watch all of these things on video, all of the protests live in HD and all of that kind of stuff, because I have an unlimited internet account here with unlimited upload length on my videos. I'm the only person who's going out there filming the public meetings and the protests and uploading them. Plenty of people film them, but nobody uploads them. Right, well, virtually nobody. And if they do upload them, it's just a raw short video that's poor quality with terrible sound, with very little actual talking or anything really of much use going on. Okay, I'm the only person that does it. Support me, and you are by proxy supporting every single fracker out there who is trying to mess with the New World Order. It's just that simple. This is my model. I understand how absolutely necessary it is to have a media platform. Okay? I understand. I also understand how impossible it is to get mainstream media to take you fracking seriously. I also understand how impossible it is to get an activist who's used to dealing with pencils and papers and pens and public meetings and public speeches and PowerPoint presentations to have the time or the effort that is necessary to organise and or produce a radio show and or any type of televised videography or interview. And I understand that even if they did know how to organise that, they wouldn't have the time to do it. And even if they could, they would probably rather pay somebody else to do it. But they can't. So, what I do is I give my time to those people who have been had attempts on their lives, who have been attending public meetings and raising voices of protest against varying forms of scumbaggery for decades, who have never, until I came along, had a video online, never come on air on real AM, FM radio bands with proper listeners. They are now getting compliments and greater hits and more support from people who show up to support them because they heard them on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. These people bleed and sweat and cry and fight and bite and spit for me. And so I must repay them. What other people don't realize is that they are also doing it for them. So you must listen to them. These people have innate wisdom, great lessons to tweet, to teach. Journalists and reporters no longer exist in the conventional form. As far as I am concerned, those people who are out there doing this kind of activism, exposing the truth, are now the reporters and journalists. And I seek to give them the recognition that they deserve. And this is a good little dance that I have struck here, whereby I can shamelessly promote myself and instantly have moral justification for doing so, because any support that I get, I give back tenfold to the people who truly deserve your eyes and your ears' attention.
And I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, that the alternative media doesn't have huge corporations backing them. You know, people like you and I are not paid daily salaries. We're not paid, you know, to show up at 8, and we're not guaranteed paychecks. We're not even guaranteed that we can cover server costs. So I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, that in order for the alternative media to survive, there has to be a certain amount of giving back to the alternative media. I think a lot of people just take it for granted that, you know, people like you will put everything on YouTube for free and expect nothing back, or, you know, do the radio show every day. You know, people just come to expect it and then feel as though they're being imposed upon when people say, hey, you know, I have bills too. You know, if you want to keep seeing this kind of stuff, you do actually have to give back. Or else it's just not possible. So I do encourage people to support your work. It is wonderful, and there are donate links there on the front page, right near the top, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And people, I mean, really, it's it's not selfish for people to say that, you know, I just can't continue unless people start actually supporting it, you know. People love to talk about how great the alternative media is all day long, but when it comes down to someone actually saying, hey, unless you guys give back, this is going to disappear, they suddenly act as if the alternative media and the people involved are some kind of, you know, horrible, money-grubbing, greedy jerks.
Now, those are in the very small minority. The majority of people would give something if they knew that you needed something, if they had it. Okay? I remember one time I had to move house, and I needed $1,500, and I needed it now, within 72 hours. $1,500 and plus was in my bank account, because I asked for it because I needed it, and I had no other options. The other option was to go get a slave job, and I had a panic attack the night before going out doing door knocking in a suit. I cannot do that anymore. Now, nobody can do what I do. Nobody. Okay, if you find anybody else who is a comedian who is producing hours of video and radio content per day and mingling with the top cream of the crop of the truth movement and all these new people that are coming up that have never even had any experience or maybe have really tiny shows, I come on as a guest, I bring them on my show as a guest, you know, let's work together, you know, let's come to agree on the things we can agree on, all right, come together on the points you agree, because if you don't, you'll be able to spend unlimited time attacking each other for the points that you disagree about. How about we leave those for another time, preferably a time after we've overthrown the ruthless bunch of criminal banks, the scumbaggery eugenicist slime bags who are attempting to exterminate us. Maybe we could leave our disagreements till after then, because then we don't have any real fundamental problems that might just kind of interrupt our conversation. You're disinfo! No, you're disinfo! And then all of a sudden a black uniformed stormtrooper busts through and shoots them both. You idiots! You were disinfo!
Time well spent.
I mean, what's your priority? Okay, and again, this is another thing. I had this dude say to me today from... I can't even mention his name. I don't like to personally attack people on air, but he gave me $50 to interview this lady, right? and he was going to give me 50 after I'd done the interview. And I gave her a call, and we had a conversation for about an hour, but my phone was giving me a headache, really bad freaking headache. So I had to hang up the phone on her. I just told her, I'm sorry, the phone's giving me a headache. Blah, blah, blah. Just please send me your email. Send me an email, and I'll get back to you, and we'll quickly do this interview. Didn't send me the email. Didn't reply to my texts. No, nothing. But this guy had already given me the $50, and I'd already paid, you know, part of my internet bill with it. And then he accuses me of being a thief and saying that I will do really well in the media game because I'm a lying thief. That stuff really pisses me off, man. And
yeah,
you know what I did with that person? Do you know what I replied with?
What's that?
Block! And I'm never going to talk to that motherfracker again.
Well, it's poison. It's a good thing to do, yeah.
Poison and toxicity. Get it the frack out of your life, and that includes your social life. Don't associate with these people. Don't reply to them. As soon as they get freaking nasty and accusing you of stuff that they got no evidence for, or they're just being a freaking douchebag, there's 6 billion people on the planet. Maybe I don't need to devote any time to this particular one.
It is a waste of time, and it's just going to basically head you down a road that no one needs to go on. You know, no one needs more stress, more problems. So I think you're smart in just cutting off the problems. It's just excising the tumor before it reaches the lymph system, essentially. But unfortunately, we are up here on the end. This has been probably the fastest 2 hours, I think, in quite a while. And it definitely has been the most humorous episode of End the Lie Radio, without a doubt. Vinny, thank you so much. We're definitely going to have you back on again in the future. I enjoyed it very much, and I'm sure my listeners will as well. But everyone, please do support his work. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, sign up for the archives and all that kind of good stuff. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. Lots of good stuff, as he mentioned. It's all up there. Tons of different perspectives. That's really what I appreciate. He's not presenting some homogenized, pasteurized point of view that's just, here, I'm telling you the truth and you have to listen to me or else you're disinfo. No, he's presenting all different sides. And you're allowed to take what you will and come to your own conclusions. And that I really do appreciate. Vinny, thank you so much once again. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. This has been End the Lie Radio with your host, Madison Rupert. And until next week, be sure to check the website, endthelie.com. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.